there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. One man, one microphone, one mission, one message. True News, the only newscast reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And now for the most powerful hour on radio, here is End Time Newsman, Rick Wiles.
This is True News, 1 hour of uncensored news, views, and commentary. Welcome to the program. I'm Rick Wiles. I don't know which news headline is crazier. Is it the news that North Korean missiles have been aimed at U.S. targets? Or is it that the international banking mafia is openly bragging that they will steal billions of dollars from innocent people whenever and wherever they choose? I think I'm going to change our opening theme music to Rod Sterling's Twilight Zone. Well, I'll start with nuclear war. That's crazy. North Korean news media said that their military was put into combat-ready posture. Its artillery units are aimed at U.S. military bases in South Korea, and its missiles aimed at U.S. targets in Japan, Guam, Hawaii, and the continental USA. The North Korean Central News Agency declared that, quote, the Supreme Command is putting all of its field artillery, including strategic rocket units and long-range artillery units, into the number one combat-ready posture. End of quote. South Korean officials are alarmed. They said the number one combat-ready posture has never been mentioned in North Korean news reports. One source said it means that North Korean soldiers have put live ammo in their weapons and clothed themselves in full combat gear. The Pentagon said the U.S. is prepared to respond to any contingency. North Korea said Seoul, South Korea, will be reduced to ashes and flames the moment the war starts. North Korea released a new video days ago depicting an invasion of South Korea and the capture of thousands of American soldiers as POWs. As the crazy North Koreans threaten to smoke the USA with nukes, the U.S. Supreme Court is hearing arguments on whether homosexual marriage should be declared a constitutional right in the United States of America. The court is expected to announce its decision this summer. Crazy news number three. Holland's finance minister said yesterday that the European Central Bank IMF raid on bank deposit accounts in Cyprus is the new model for bailing out debt-ridden banks and governments. And if you haven't comprehended the magnitude of this announcement, let me drive it home to you. The international banking mafia thugs are openly telling us that our money is not safe in any bank. They will arbitrarily reach in and steal whatever they desire. And this is a global game changer. And I assure you, there are hundreds of thousands of wealthy persons today quietly making plans to get their wealth out of the banking system. Personally, I think the statement was deliberately made to accelerate the collapse of the banking system. No sane official would ever say such a preposterous thing. It does not instill calmness and confidence in the public. Instead, it strikes fear into the hearts and minds of everybody who has worked and saved and invested and accumulated some wealth to pass on to their children and grandchildren. Nothing is safe as of today. The world changed yesterday with this declaration in Europe that they will steal money directly out of the bank accounts. But this is what we've been telling you for several years. After the raid on MF Global, we said that they'll steal anything that's not bolted down. That's precisely what they're doing. So when you thought I was over the top a year or two ago, that maybe I was a little bit extreme in saying that they would raid and steal loot anything? Well, do you still believe it? Because they've already done it. And they're telling you they're going to do it again and again. The international banking mafia will rape, pillage, loot, and burn down everything on their way to the bottom. They want to crash the system so they can establish a new system financed with the wealth they stole from everybody in the old system. This isn't rocket science. They are looting the old system in order to launch the new system. And like a Las Vegas casino, the house always wins in this poker game. In case you're not up to speed on what happened in Cyprus, this is what they did. The two biggest banks in the country are Bank of Cyprus and Popular Bank. And so the IMF arbitrarily made Bank of Cyprus the good bank, and they made Popular Bank the bad bank. And because of fear of being seen as common street thieves stealing from widows, they decided at the last minute to exempt everybody with less than 100,000 euros, or approximately $130,000. Anybody with over that amount in Popular Bank lost 100% of their savings. All of it. 100%. And over at the good bank, Bank of Cyprus, the banksters only stole 40% of the deposits over 100,000 euros. Who gave them the right to do it? They did. They went in, just like thieves, and took the money out. Not out of a government account. They took it out of the bank accounts of citizens, of businesses, of people who had done nothing wrong, people who had paid their bills, people who had worked and saved. They went in and they stole their money. And they're telling you they're going to do it at every bank that has financial problems. And why are many of these banks in trouble? Because they own government bonds. They lent money to socialist governments. And now the governments are broke and they're printing funny money. And the banks can't come up with any more loans because the banks will be insolvent. And so what are they doing? Instead of cutting government spending, instead of living within their means, no, they're going in and they're stealing the money from the people. It's just insanity. And it's outright thievery. And what they're doing is that they're forcing everybody today to say, I went out of the banking system. I now see where this is going. Because if it's going to happen in Cyprus, and it's already happened, then it will go to Spain, Italy, Ireland, Portugal. They'll take it to every country. And with this type of fear, they will actually cause a bank panic in the world. Because anybody with any brains in their head will say, I'm getting my money out of the banking system before it happens where I live, where I bank. And it will come to the United States. It will come to Great Britain. It will go to all of the Western world. They're going to loot, pillage, rape, and burn on the way down. And then use your money to finance the new system, which is going to be the Phoenix. By the way, all the banks in Cyprus will remain closed until at least Thursday to prevent massive outflows of cash from the country. Capital controls will remain in effect for at least weeks. As the Western-controlled international banking mafia robs the Cypriot people and prepares to hold up more banks throughout Europe, the BRICS are busily making plans to set up an alternative banking system to bypass the Bilderberg boys. Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, known as the BRICS, have agreed to build their own version of the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund to compete with the Rothschilds and Rockefellers. Meanwhile, China and Brazil announced both countries will no longer use U.S. dollars for bilateral trades. The global gun grabbers are demanding that the language in the UN gun control treaty be toughened. The draft treaty under consideration does not control the domestic use of weapons, but it would require all nations that sign the treaty to establish national regulations to control the transfer of arms and parts and to regulate arms dealers, meaning gun stores. Also, the gun grabbers are demanding that ammo sales be more tightly regulated by the United Nations. Retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin is warning that a domestic military constabulary force may be coming to the USA. General Boykin was a member of the original Delta Force Commandos. He was also the commander of all Green Berets. The retired general is warning Americans that he sees the same six things happening in America under Barack Obama as he saw happen in other nations that were taken over by the communists. Number one, the nationalization of the economy. Number two, the redistribution of wealth. Number three, the smearing of critics. Number four, the censorship of opposing views. Number five, the confiscation of firearms. And number six, the establishment of a domestic military constabulary force. General Boykin points to the massive stockpiling of ammo by the Department of Homeland Security as possible evidence that such a domestic military police force is being established right now. Fujitsu, that wonderful Japanese company that makes Mark of the Beast technology machines, has teamed up with an American company called Kid Track to keep track of all the little kids riding school buses. Kid Track is selling Fujitsu's palm vein scanning devices to school districts in the USA. The palm entry system uses Fujitsu's palm secure biometric technology to identify humans by their vein pattern in their palm. The system uses a near-infrared light to capture the pattern that can be matched through a contactless reader. KidTrack is using Fujitsu's physical access control system in the school bus environment. Children using the contactless biometric product for positive authentication and proof of location on buses. The KidTrack system will be launched on March 19 at the Ohio Association for Pupil Transportation Conference and Trade Show in Dublin, Ohio. Now, my question is this. Will the Christian parents who go to church every Sunday, will they submit or resist the beast? It's decision time. Because school districts are going to install palm vein scanners on school buses. And your little children will not be able to get on the school bus unless they wave their hand over the scanner. So I ask you, if this comes to your school district, will you submit or resist? I'm going to tell you this. The pre-tribulation rapture isn't going to get you out of this mess. You will have to take a stand for Jesus Christ, and it will cost you something. Because if we're supposed to go by what Tim LaHaye and Hal Lindsey and John Hagee promised us 20 years ago, we should have been raptured by now. We're not supposed to be here when they scan us, right? Oh, I know what the answer. I know what the standard reply is now. Well, this isn't the mark of the beast, because if it was the mark of the beast, the church would have been raptured by now. So it can't be the mark of the beast. What a bunch of baloney. They're scanning your kids now. They're going to scan you and me. They're already setting up the system. And we have tens of millions of Christians foolishly sitting there doing nothing while the mark of the beast system is built all around them like a electronic spider web. And yet they continue to sit there watching John Hagee on TV telling them they're going to be raptured before anything bad happens. So again, I'm going to ask you, if your school system installs palm vein readers on the school bus or at the lunch cafeteria, will your children submit or will you resist? You're going to have to make a decision. Because if you compromise now, you'll compromise later. You'll keep compromising until you have a microchip implanted in your hand. You can't compromise on this issue. The Bible says that whosoever receives the mark of the beast shall be cast into the lake of fire. There are no suburbs in the lake of fire. You're either in it or you're not. And the Bible's very clear about this. You cannot compromise on this issue. And it's not going to go away. You're going to have to take a stand. And it may cost you everything, including your life. But this is where we find out who really is a Christian and who isn't. And Hollywood is releasing another New World Order propaganda film on June 21st. World War Z is about a zombie apocalypse. The movie is full of grotesque images of rabid humans swarming like ants in search of their next gory feast of human flesh. The movie trailer opens with a little girl saying, "Daddy, what is martial law?" Now, I would say to you this, resist the fear. Refuse to watch the movie. Do not allow Satan to put these images and thoughts into your minds. They are seeking to introduce insanity in the human spirit. This is an onslaught from hell, what is taking place right now. And they are seeking to release insanity in the human race. And I'm telling you, resist the fear. Refuse to watch the movie. Do not put these zombie images into your mind. Do not look at them. And in fact, I will tell you, the Lord has convicted me about putting images on our website of zombies. I have clearly heard from the Lord, do not even put the images of these movies and all the talk of zombies. Don't put it on the website. Tell the Christians, don't look at the images. You have to get control of the images that you're looking at. Stop letting Satan put images into your mind. Insanity is being released on the earth. And I would encourage you to make the sign of the cross over your forehead every day. And plead the blood of Jesus every day over your family and your home. These are dangerous times. And you're going to have to be in full spiritual battle mode. And so you're going to learn to do things that maybe you've never done before. But we're only going to get through this by the word of our testimony in the blood of the Lamb. I'm Rick Wiles. You're listening to True News. This is your end time newscast. I'll take a break and I'll be back with my guest.
Reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ, you're listening to True News, the end time newscast.
When you feel alone, turn first to God, who's always listening. Here's today's Moment with Charles Stanley.
Well, when I think about that, I think about this passage in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15, 16. No matter who you are, how lonely you are, and why, listen to these verses. He says, "We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted or tried as we are, yet without sin." He says, "Now therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And I think all of us will agree that when we're feeling lonely, it's a time of need. And when I think about the one person who knew all about loneliness, Jesus is the one. Think about this for a moment. In the 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th chapters of the book of John, we find him working very diligently to encourage his disciples, whom he knew were getting ready to face the most lonely period of their life. And here he is washing their feet and trying to encourage them and saying things like this, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. Why would he say something like that? Because he knew that that night was going to be the beginning of a night of awesome, dark loneliness that was going to last for a long time unless they responded in the right way. He knew, for example, that Judas had already separated himself from him. They were all going to scatter from him, and there he would be alone, and likewise they would experience loneliness. Well, oftentimes that's what loneliness does. It causes us to become scattered on the inside. We don't know how to respond. We don't know what to do. And yet Jesus Christ is the answer to our loneliness. And in this 16th chapter of John, when Jesus is talking to them and trying to encourage their hearts, he says something that's very significant in this 32nd verse. Listen to what he says. Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you'll be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. And there is the key when you and I face loneliness. Does it mean we are not lonely? No. It means that in the midst of being lonely, we understand that Jesus is with us in our loneliness. You remember what he said also? He said, now I'm going away, but I'm going to send you another comforter, and he'll be in you and with you forever. What was he doing but encouraging them to realize that while he was physically not going to be with them, that spiritually, in a very real fashion, he was going to be with them.
And the comforter Dr. Stanley spoke of is the Holy Spirit. He's your constant companion, but only if you're a follower of Christ. Learn how to become a Christian when you click All Things Are New at intouch.org.
You're listening to True News, your Christian alternative source for global news, analysis, and commentary. I'm Rick Wiles. The West has entered the Twilight Zone. American and European leaders are now certifiably insane. European nations are sinking in debt, but the EU is openly stealing billions of euros out of the bank accounts of innocent citizens. The USA has a national debt of at least $16 trillion, but Mr. Obama and House Speaker Boehner both agree there isn't a spending crisis. Both want to spend more money than the government doesn't possess. In Asia, the Prozac has worn off Kim Jong-un in North Korea. He has ordered his military to fix position its missiles on targets inside the USA. Meanwhile, the Obamas left Washington on yet another vacation on taxpayers' expense. Washington wants to take away our guns, yet Washington is stockpiling a massive mountain of hollow point ammo, and you and I are paying for it. Am I the only person who thinks the world has lost its mind? Let's ask Reverend Jesse Peterson. He is known as the antidote to Jesse Jackson. He's the founder of several organizations, including Bond, which is dedicated to rebuilding the family by rebuilding broken men. He's also the founder of the South Central LA Tea Party, and he's the host of his own radio program, the Jesse Peterson Radio Show. Jesse Peterson, am I the only person who thinks the world has gone crazy? What is going on?
You know, I'm blown away about what's happening in my country right now, Rick. And thank you for having me on. I do appreciate it. I know when Obama was first elected back in 2008, I was surprised that the people re-elected him. But then I realized maybe a lot of people didn't know him, didn't really know a lot about him. And the liberal media protested him back then as well. But after they re-elected him, it's just hard to believe. Now we have a socialist, a redistribution of wealth, black liberation theology, racist man who hate Israel and hate whites in America. Back in the White House, he supports abortion at any point. He also supports so-called same-sex marriage, and he overturned "Don't Ask, Don't Tell" in the military. And so I believe that because we have this type of person in the White House, that it has, he has given evil permission to come forward. And that's why we see so many negative things happening in our country, because we have a man who approves of all these things.
I agree. That is the most important thing that we're going to talk about here today. He has given evil permission to run wild in this country. He sanctions it. He is a man of lawlessness.
That's right. He's not of God, and I know. I don't see any indication where he's a Christian at all. I'm not sure if he's a Muslim yet, but I can't say that for sure. But I can definitely say that he is not a Christian, because I can't think of one Christian thing that he has done since being in the White House. And if there was any indication he was a Christian, we would have seen something by now. And I've not, since I've been on Earth, and I'm 63 right now, and I've not seen evil be as bold as it is today in America. It's just coming out of the woodwork.
Jesse, does it seem like since November, evil has intensified in this country?
It has. With that, right. After November, it got even worse. You know, today the U.S. Supreme Court is hearing oral arguments over Proposition 8, which is in California here. We voted back in 2008 that a marriage was between a man and a woman, one man and one woman. Well, the local judges have taken it all the way, you know, banned it. And so it's gone up to the U.S. Supreme Court. They're going to be arguing over that today. And also, they're arguing over whether or not to defend the law that says a marriage is between one man and one woman. Now, to me, there's no logic in the Supreme Court even looking at something like that, because we know that is wrong. I think the Supreme Court needs to stay out of that and let the voters decide. And the voters in California decided that a marriage is between a man and woman. It's been that way ever since the day of Adam and Eve. Why would the court look at that? They made the same mistake with the abortion issue when they legalized abortion in all 50 states. And you see what that has done. And I just don't believe that they would even consider hearing such a case like that.
Well, Jesse, look what they did in California. The citizens passed a proposition stating that marriage was between one man and one woman.
Right.
And then it was overturned by a judge. So then the people said, okay, we're not going to just pass a law. We are going to amend the Constitution of the state of California. And they passed it. And then a federal judge ruled that the Constitution of California was unconstitutional. Now, that is an insane statement.
It's crazy.
And what the Supreme Court is ruling on right now is whether the people of California have the right to amend their state constitution. So this has gone so far to the level of insanity that constitutional amendments are now declared unconstitutional.
I know. It is the craziest thing that I've ever seen. And we have never seen anything like this in this country before. And it's primarily because, yes, we have had presidents there who have had issues, of course, Democrats and others, but we have never had the type of head that we have right now at the head of our country. It's like being in a bad family. If the father is weak, the mother is weak, you're going to end up with bad children. And most of them would turn against away from good toward evil. And I see that happening. The one thing I have to say, Rick, is that the people out there who say that they believe in God, if they truly, truly believe in God, this is the time to wake up and get involved and show the world the power of God that is in us, or in those who believe in God. To sit back and wait for some end time to happen and just pray and do nothing is a horrible mistake, because God is with us now and he needs us to do something now.
Well, that's the big issue, I think, that's dividing a lot of Christians. I just look at my own email that I get every day and the letters that come in. A lot of people are saying, Rick, stop criticizing Barack Obama. You have to pray for him. You have to support him. He's the president of the United States, and we're obligated as Christians to pray for him. Well, I'm obligated to pray for him to get saved. Okay, but I'm not obligated to pray that he commits evil in this country.
I'm obligated to pray him out of there before he destroys this country. That's what I'm praying for. Before this man, I don't know. Let's say that they're going to pray for him. What would they pray? Other than, like you said, they pray that he accept Christ as his Lord and Savior. Other than that, what are they praying for? The guy's only getting worse. He doesn't believe in the same God that they're even praying to.
I'm praying that he gets arrested and sent to prison, and then a prison ministry reaches him with the gospel.
I'm telling you, man. Sit around and pray why this guy is destroying our country, corrupting the minds of the young, and they just going to sit around and pray. Where did they get that from, Rick? Where does that come from?
It is a pious excuse to sit on your butt and do nothing.
But are they hearing it from their preachers? Where is that idea coming from?
They're hearing it from their preachers. Because the preachers don't want to get out of their little comfortable churches and do something. I mean, I don't know if you're aware of what happened yesterday in Paris. And I'm very, very impressed with the French Christians, because their socialist president, Hollande, is trying to push through gay marriage. And hundreds of thousands of French Christians went into the streets of Paris yesterday to say, no, we are not going to allow you to do this. Well, they got tear gassed by the police. And also, three cheers for the French Christians. They were willing to get out of their comfort zone, get into the streets. They were willing to be tear gassed. But where are the Christians in America? They're just sitting around twiddling their thumbs.
I have been warning white Americans. I know a lot of white folks are not speaking up and getting involved because they are afraid of being called racist. And they'd rather lose their family and lose their country rather than be called a racist. And so Obama has been able to divide us in order to conquer in a way I've never seen before. And I've said to white Americans, the worst thing that you can have is fear. Because when you have fear, you bring out the worst in evil. And they will take over and literally destroy you. And that you better get over that, because last year, we saw white Americans under attack all around the country with those mob youth thugs going into white businesses.
All the flash mobs?
Yeah, flash mob. And stealing and carrying on and then attacking white folks in the streets. And if white Americans don't start speaking up and telling the truth and standing up for what is right, that's going to only get worse. It's not going to get better.
Have you noticed since the November election a reoccurring propaganda theme coming from the Obamanistas and the news media, which is the Obamanistas also, but a common theme that they use over and over and over is tired, old, angry white men?
Yes. And what they're doing, Rick, and they're trying to do what they've done to the black family. They, back 50 or 60 years ago, they turned the black family, the man away from the family, and they brought in the government. The government became the daddy of the family, and the so-called corrupt black leaders became the head of the people, and it's just been downhill ever since. And that's what they're trying to do with the white man. The attack is on the white man because who he represents. Whether he know it or not, he represents Christ on earth. And if you turn away the man from his wife and children, there's no spiritual protection, in many cases no financial protection, and the government steps in and they end up like the black family. Torn, and black people worse off today when it comes to the issue of race and morality than I ever seen, because now most of them are racist toward white Americans. They are angry. And of the 13% of the population, blacks are 13% of the population, and 40% of them are relying on the government in one form or another. And that's what they're trying to do to the white family right now.
Jesse, I think that before Obama was elected in 2008, the American people had made a lot of progress in overcoming its past in regards to racial harmony.
Of course.
But the last 4 years under Obama, this has been the worst I've seen in my lifetime. I've never felt such animosity and hate and anger and division. This man is a master, a professional of of using words and tactics to make people angry, to provoke them, to try to rile people up, and to pit one group against another. And, you know, if he can, I've said this since 2008 when he was running the first time. I said, this man will start a civil war.
Yep. He's very, very cunning. He's, you know, a lot of people say that he's smart. He's not smart. He's cunning.
Treacherous.
And he has no heart. He has no love for anyone but himself. And his hatred for this country outweighs everything else. And he can see what's happening, but it's happening the way that he wants it to happen. He wants to destroy this country, and that's what he's doing.
Okay, now here's my... This is where I get really upset with Christians. According to the exit polls, something like, I don't know what it was, 27% of evangelical white Christians voted for Obama. Now, when you go down the age brackets, a substantial percentage of white evangelical Christians, young people under, you know, say under the age of 30 voted for him. Then, something like, and I don't have the numbers right here in front of me, but something like 54% of Catholics voted for Mr. Obama. And then when you get to black Christians, 95% voted for Mr. Obama. Yeah. We're just talking about Christians. I don't understand. Now, listen, I was not enthusiastic about Mitt Romney. I voted for him, but I had no illusions that he was going to change, stop a lot of things. I just thought he'd slow down the crazy train a little bit and maybe we could, have some normalcy to our lives. But I knew that if Obama was reelected, the crazy train was going to go into overdrive. But how do Christians justify voting for a man who supports partial birth abortion, who supports same-sex marriage, who thinks that the Islamic prayer call is the sweetest words on earth? How do Christians justify it?
The only thing that I can come up with is that they are Christians in namesake only, because knowing, especially the second time around, knowing what they know about Barack Obama and knowing what they knew about him the second time around and still voted for him, I said, you can't be a Christian and do that. There are a lot of people who claim that they are Christians, but it's just in namesake. You cannot support good and evil. You either love one and hate the other one. And it's clear to me that Barack Obama is an evil man, and there's no way anyone who say that they believe in good would have supported him. I just think it's that, and I know also with some white folks, it's part guilt, too. They still feel, somehow or another, feel guilty and responsible for the condition of black Americans when they have nothing to do with it at all. And also, most black people voted for him because they're racist. They're glad to have a black man liberal in there and get it back at white folks. So they did it because he was black and because he is a racist and they are as well. All in the name of Jesus.
But, Jesse, why can't we to be absolutely correct? I mean, I voted for Alan Keyes years ago. You know, and I didn't see the media going out there and whipping up guilt and telling white people, you people should vote for Alan Keyes. He's a black man. Alan Keyes is a real black man. Okay. To be very precise, Barack Obama is not the first black president. He is the first mixed race president.
That's
50%
right.
White and 50% black. And there's nothing wrong with that. And this is a wonderful thing that a mixed race person, was elected. That's a wonderful thing. But when I criticize him, I just tell people, I'm not criticizing his black half. I'm criticizing his white half, because he was raised by white people, and he was raised by white people who were connected to the New World Order. And you trace, that man had a silver spoon in his mouth. He was not raised by a goat herder in Kenya. He was raised by his white family, and they had connections to the New World Order. And nobody wants to talk about this.
Yeah. I don't think that Obama even identified with the white aspect of himself, because his mother, she hated her color. She hated being white. And I'm thinking, and I don't have like a whole lot of proof of this yet, but I do know she hated her color. I mean, hated, you know, being white. But I think he may have been brought up not to accept that side of himself, and that helps add to him being a racist because he doesn't really respect white folks.
Well, it has nothing to do with the color of his skin. It's because he's red inside. He is a communist. That's the problem.
It's all spiritual, and I tell people all the time that our battle is a spiritual battle, a warfare between good and evil. And Barack Obama is evil. He represents evil, and that's what we need to be aware of. These are some very interesting and difficult times, and I just think Americans need to get busy standing up with good before it's really too late. I really do.
Jesse, as a minister of the gospel, tell the audience where this is headed if it's not stopped. Where are we going spiritually? What's going to happen to this country?
If it's not stopped, we're headed to total destruction of our country. The corruption of the young, the destruction of families, the unborn child would never have a chance to come into the world by way of abortion being out of control. It just headed, we're becoming a socialist society where we will be ruled by the government instead of we the people. It's going to be we the government if this is not stopped. And stop before this guy get out of the White House, because once it's out there, it's hard to put it back, to bring it back to order. And the folks need to get busy right now stopping it.
I think it goes even far deeper than being ruled by the government. I think the end of it will be there will be no government. There will be no nation. It will be totally destroyed because we're rotting from the inside, and it now it's becoming putrid. It's starting to have a stench, and the decay has accelerated beyond anything I imagine that I would see. I don't think it's a coincidence, Jesse, that right now, while the Supreme Court is debating whether to legalize same-sex marriage, at the very same time, a wild man in North Korea in possession of ICBMs and nuclear warheads is openly saying, I am going to destroy Washington, D.C. I am going to destroy New York City. I mean, this is not just a nut walking around on the street saying it. This is a man who is in possession of the nukes to do it. And he's openly saying this week, I've ordered the military to fix position of the rockets on American targets. And I don't see anybody paying attention to it.
Like, no.
I mean, this is far worse, far more dangerous than the 1962 Cuban Missile Crisis.
Yep. Well, I'm not surprised that this is happening, because when Obama first became president, he went around the world apologizing to dictators and everyone else, bowing down to them and telling them that I'm here now, things are going to be different. We are not a Judeo-Christian nation, so he said. He said that we are a nation of religions, a nation of people and religions, or some kind of crazy things like that. And I knew then that he had sent a message out, whether he intended to or not, that he's very weak, and there's no reason for the people who hate us to be afraid anymore. So I am not surprised at any of the threats that we're getting from around the world. None. I'm not surprised at all.
What kind of treatment are you getting from your fellow black pastors?
They hate me. They call me every name in the book. Uncle Tom, sellout, you name it, they call me that. I get threats all the time, but I'm fine with it. I love what's right. I love my country, and I know that this is the greatest country in the world, and it was given to us by God, and we have a responsibility to protect it. And so I'd rather die standing for the truth than to live a coward and live under a government that will kill me anyway eventually if we don't stand up.
Well, we're going to let that be the final word. Reverend Jesse Peterson and his organization, bondinfo.org. You can also listen to him on the Jesse Peterson radio show. Jesse, thank you. Appreciate your courage and keep speaking out.
I will, Rick. And thank you, too, for standing up for what is right. This is what it takes. We got to put the truth out there.
You're listening to True News, the End Time Newscast. Rick will return after this announcement.
This is Max McLean. What can we do that will please God? Listen to the Bible from Hebrews 13. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. From Hebrews 13. Listen to the Bible. It's great for the soul.
The Listener's Bible may be a great way to help you devote more time in God's Word. Now you can download the Bible directly to your computer. To hear more, go to radiobible.org.
Hey, I've got about 10 or 11 minutes remaining in the program, and I just want to spend these minutes just talking to you from my heart, just give you an update on some things that are taking place and just share with you my thoughts on some of the things that are happening right now. First of all, I want to thank all of you who are praying for my daughter, Carissa, in Ecuador. She is feeling better. She was under a really severe attack over the weekend. Extreme sickness there in the Amazon village where they're living as missionaries. And we still don't know what happened to her. My first thought was a poisonous insect bite, but we don't know. But she is doing better, so thank you. But continue to pray for her and just cover all of them with Bless an Orphan. Cover them with prayer and protection. There's a lot of shaman witchcraft in the Amazon region. I was there last December, you know, and everywhere you go, you see the little shaman, I don't even know, you know, they got the huts where you can go in and pay a shaman, you know, whatever a shaman's going to do, tell your fortune or pray to the devil for you, but they're everywhere. And so there's a lot of spiritual warfare going on in that village. The devil definitely is not happy about Bless an Orphan's arrival in that portion of Ecuador. And Carissa Marshall and the whole team have stirred up a lot of demons there. And I guess they had life made before Bless an Orphan showed up. And now these demons have to work for a living. So they're not happy about it. So they're trying to chase Carissa Marshall out of that town. But that's not going to happen because you think I'm hard-headed. My daughter and son are more hard-headed than I am. So they're not going to go anywhere. They're just going to dig in and keep preaching Jesus and keep saving little children. Also, continue to pray for little Nathaniel. He is still alive, and he needs a miracle. Now, not a healing. He needs a miracle. That's the only thing that's going to save his life on this earth is a divine miracle. And just continue to pray that God's will be done in Nathaniel's life. Carissa and Marshall have done everything humanly possible to save that child from death because the medical community there in Ecuador wanted to kill the baby after he was born. And Carissa has done everything she can to save this little boy's life. He was born handicapped, and he's got some severe problems. And they just saw him as human trash. Just toss him out and let him die. But you know, he has a soul, and so Carissa has intervened. And yes, she has had her own battles with sickness and a lot of other problems. I will give you a very good report. Earlier this year, and I don't remember exactly when it was, I said that I wanted to buy another vehicle for them. That's when I came back from Ecuador there at the first of the year, and I saw how bad the situation was there and how rough the roads are and the streets and the condition that the Blessed Orphan team was living under, and it was just very, very deplorable. Let me give you an idea. All right. There are two streets in the entire city where they live that are paved, Main Street and the Mayor Street, if you know what I mean, okay? Everything else is just cobblestone, not cobblestone, riverstone. Cobblestone would be wonderful. Everything else is just riverstone. It's like the whole town is just built on dry riverbed. I mean, everything is just big, round river stones everywhere. It's just trying to walk is a chore. Trying to keep your balance is a chore. I've never seen a place like it in my life. And so we said, let's get them another vehicle so they can get around. And we got to find something, you know, a four-wheel drive SUV. I just said, look, let's raise $10,000 and buy them a used vehicle. And I got to be honest with you, I didn't do my homework. Well, one of our dear partners immediately sent $10,000. And so another True News supporter, Scott, went down to Ecuador to buy that vehicle for us. He went down at his own expense, and he came back, and he said, Ricky, you're not going to believe this, but a used vehicles, 15 years old, with 100,000 miles on them, are selling for $25,000. You're not going to get anything for $10,000. And I was in a state of shock. And Scott went a second time and tried to negotiate a deal. And he went again, the third trip on his own expense. And he is there right now. And I want to tell you that the Lord has done a miracle, because Carissa put out a message on her Facebook page with Bless an Orphan, and $10,000 was donated from Bless an Orphan supporters on the through the Facebook appeal. And then on top of that, another family that wishes to remain anonymous donated $30,000. And so when we put this all together, we had a grand total of $50,000. And so we were able to purchase two vehicles, a brand new bus for the orphanage and a used SUV. And God has done a wonderful miracle here, a blessing. And, you know, this miracle in the finances has come precisely as Carissa and Marshall were fighting a spiritual battle with sickness and all kinds of things, the sickness in their own body, and caring for sick children, extremely ill children. And it's the past month has just been very, very hard for them. But in the middle of all that, God was working a miracle for them. And so I just want you to know that those vehicles are being delivered, I want to say tomorrow. I think they're driving them from Quito to the village in the Amazon, which is about 4 hours away. And I think that's being done tomorrow. And so very, very soon, Blessed Orphan is going to have a brand new bus for the children and a well-built, low-mileage SUV to help them get around in the region there. And I'm telling you, you just got to go there to see it, to understand what I'm talking about. So for everybody who donated, thank you so much. It is a wonderful blessing. And there are many blessings happening here also. And we are on the move. Things are changing and growing here at True News. There something has broken spiritually. I can feel the breakthrough. And I'm telling you, a breakthrough that I have not felt in all the years I've been on the radio, 14 years, come up this May 24th, we will start our 15th year of broadcasting. And I am feeling something in my spirit that I haven't felt at all. In all these years, there's a breakthrough. And things are in motion. And you're going to see the changes and the improvements in the days ahead. If everything goes as planned, we are going to unveil our new website on Thursday. It might be delayed to Friday. I'm not going to get a stomach ache if it doesn't happen on Thursday. We're still tweaking a lot of things, but I think we're going to get it done for Thursday. And I hope you like it. It is a completely new look to the TrueNews.com website. At the top of the website, you'll see a banner that says click for a special message from me. And you can click that on, and then there's a video message, about 1 minute, and you'll get a glimpse of, you'll get a glimpse of the face that's been talking to you all these years. I hope that doesn't scare you away. But you also get a glimpse of what we're going to do with video, because our next phase is to launch True News Television. And we are very excited about this, that we can start very soon building out our television studio, and we'll stay on the radio, not going off the radio, but we'll have a video version of this radio program. I don't know what you call it, a radio vision. The technology is changing everything today, so we're going to have radio vision, but that's coming very, very soon. And then there is something going on that I want to tell you so much about it, but I just can't, because I have been bound by an oath of secrecy, but it is a good thing. It's a really, really good thing. So we're just getting our socks blessed off of us right now, and I know that's making my enemies, my critics, really, really mad and jealous right now, but that's too bad. The Lord is blessing us, and he's blessing us in a big way. There is a huge gift that is being transferred to us. This is not a cash gift, but it is an asset gift, and it is big, and it's a game changer for us, and it's huge, and it's a answer to my prayers and a dream come true. I feel like a kid that just walked in to see the biggest Christmas tree you've ever seen and the biggest present you could ever imagine under a Christmas tree, and it has my name on it. That's how I feel right now, and I'm excited about it, and I am thanking the Lord and praising the Lord, and I got the biggest grin on my face that you can imagine, and I am just blessed, and blessed. The Lord is good, and he's good all the time, and hopefully in a week or two, or maybe more. I don't know exactly when we're going to be allowed to say it, but the gift is in the process of being transferred to us, and there are lawyers involved because it's a big gift. And does that get you interested? If you got to have lawyers involved to transfer a gift, it's a big gift, okay? And it's in the works. But what does that mean for you and me? It means that our God is doing great and mighty things, and I want you to get in on the blessing. I'm a firm believer that when you're linked to a ministry, whatever that ministry is going through, you're going to go through it too. When the minister's under spiritual attack, lots of times the people that support that minister come under spiritual attack. And when the minister's being blessed by God, the same thing happens. The heavens open above the people that support that ministry. So you're linked. You're linked with me. And I believe that the heavens are open right now for you. And so if you haven't seen a blessing coming to you, then get excited and start looking for it and start praising God and thanking him for it, because he is doing great and mighty things for his people right now. The world's going crazy, but you and I, we're going to heaven, because we believe on the name of Jesus Christ. We love you. See you tomorrow.